Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Jocelyn Sambira at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, a bigger push is needed to involve women in Yemen peace talks. And according to a former Olympian, gender parity in sports is still far off. But first, the world is losing big time because women entrepreneurs cannot fully participate in the global economy. That's the opinion of Arantxa Gonzalez, executive director at the UN International Trade Center, which is working to get 1 million women-owned businesses to market by 2020. The International Trade Center recently launched She Trades, an online platform and mobile application or app that connects buyers worldwide with women-owned enterprises. Deanne Penn spoke with Ms. Gonzalez, who was in New York for the latest session of the Commission on the Status of Women.
Well, we are here to send a very strong signal on women's economic empowerment. You know, in this last years, we've done a lot in addressing violence against women, in improving education of women and girls, in improving the participation of women in politics. We've not done enough in terms of empowering women to be part of the economy. And that's what matters, because this is what will help us anchor progress in all the other aspects in a sustainable manner. So my message coming here to New York for the Commission on the Status of Women is, let's put women's economic empowerment at the center of our efforts to achieve the eradication of poverty by 2030, since this is our objective, common goal under the Sustainable Development Agenda.
And now the ITC at the end of last year launched a new platform aimed at getting 1 million women-owned businesses to market.
So the International Trade Center wants to be faithful to this women's economic empowerment. When I was traveling around the world, people were asking me, well, we would like to buy from women-owned businesses, but we just don't know where to find them. So we decided to launch an online platform called She Trades. A platform that was built by a woman engineer, IT.
From Kenya, right?
Exactly. Catherine Ninjiu, amazing young woman in technology, because there are also millions of women in technology that we have to make more visible. She invented this platform. It's an online platform. It's a directory in which you go free of charge, register yourself, say who you are, what sector of the economy you're active, say what's your phone and what's your email, and it allows you to become visible to markets. It allows you to connect with other women entrepreneurs that are out there that are willing to transact with you. It allows those companies that want to make their value chains more inclusive to have a means to do that.
And do we know how much the global economy suffers because there aren't enough women businesses being brought to market?
Well, what we know is that if we were to eliminate all these obstacles that today prevent the full participation of women in the economy, this would mean adding to the world economy a new economy the size of the US and China together. So what we know is that by not tackling women's economic empowerment, we are losing big time on an amazing source of growth, a source of growth that is inclusive, a source of growth that is sustainable. So, frankly, we don't have time to waste. Our economies are today suffering. They are not growing fast enough. And, frankly, part of the answer, put more women in the economy.
The United Nations and the international community need to continue their efforts to include women in peace discussions in Yemen. That's the opinion of Sahar Ghanim, head of the Civil Society Organization's Affairs Unit in the Yemeni Prime Minister's office. A year of fighting between rebels and government forces has led to the death of more than 6,000 civilians in the Gulf state. Ms. Ghanim spoke at a press conference at UN headquarters that addressed the absence of women from peace talks in the Middle East. Carmen Cuesta Roca began by asking her about the National Dialogue Conference, which was part of reconciliation efforts in Yemen.
The national dialogue was something happened and finished around a year ago before the war, but that was a really positive step in the Yemeni women history because they could be for the first time a participation of around 30% on the level of making policies in Yemen. So that happens for the first time in the Yemeni.
And do you think then that level of participation from women is something that looks like it will continue in the country?
Yeah, we hope so, because we already stepped the first one, so we think that we have to push to continue that, more advocacy and lobbying with the decision makers in Yemen, so we continue that.
And what kind of expectations do you have from the international community and the UN specifically in terms of improving women's participation in peace processes?
To be honest, at the beginning, UN have a very good effect on bringing women to that conference. So, and yani, I would like to thank them for that first. But we need now to continue that effort, because they just stopped in that period, and now they are not continue that anymore. They sacrifice, and they are dealing with the politicians in Yemen, as before. Yani, I mean, you know, they don't really push that much to bring women to the table.
And what hopes do you have for the future then?
First, we hope that peace comes to Yemen, so we can continue the process, the transitional political process. We hope to get the new constitution and, you know, start building the new Yemen.
And why is it so important for women to be involved in that process?
First of all, they can bring the agenda of women to the table. They can bring the concerns and the voice of the communities, the local communities, because most of the time men likes to discuss more political stuff. They like to discuss, you know, the very high level, but they don't really discuss the main needs, the basic needs of the community.
Gender parity in sports, both on and off the field, is still far off, according to the International Olympic Committee, OIC. The organization has been working with young people in Brazil ahead of the Rio 2016 Olympic Games to spread messages of equality, non-discrimination, non-violence, and girls' empowerment. It has also been trying to increase the number of women in its leadership, but is still falling short, says a former Olympian representing the organization at this year's Commission on the Status of Women in New York. Nicole Huverts, a former synchronized swimmer from Aruba, told me why she is a strong believer in the power of sports.
You would not believe how shy I was as a young girl. And through sports, I was able to get the skills and just becoming a different person. I always said I'm a lawyer by profession, but I am the person that I am today thanks to sports. The sport is a school of life, and all the lessons that I've learned through sports have really made me into the person that I am today. So yes, I am a personal example of how sport can empower young girls and women all around the world.
There's also talk about trying to end violence through sports, and I think it's something that your organization has been trying to do. Can you give us like an example where this has had an impact?
It is something that we are definitely very much involved in. The Olympic Charter, which is the core document of all the NOCs and of the entire Olympic movement, states combating violence in sports and through sports is one of our goals. Also, the medical committee and the world of sports through the IOC has focused very much on sexual harassment and abuse in sport and eradicating that, and has sent out a message to all the NOCs already in 2006, 2007, that we should all join forces and combat that ill. That is something that is a message that we share through the athletes as well, that we want the experience that girls and women and boys and men have through sport is a pleasant one. If you have an experience that is joined to violence and abuse and sexual harassment, you will not be enjoying sport. So that is not a message that we share.
Is this something that is happening more and more today, or it has always been there in terms of discrimination against women in sports and violence?
IOC has been an advocate since 1994 for more women to become active, and they have adopted a resolution already in 1994 where a certain percentage, in that case it was 10%, then it was increased to 20% of women at all decision-making bodies and all decision-making levels had to be women. We still have a long way to go, because even if we accomplish 20%, that would mean that 80% are still men. So we want to accomplish parity. We want to accomplish 50-50%, because we think that the women, being 50% of the world population, should also have 50% representation at all levels of society, so also in sport.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.